to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hey, Brains, it's another great day here on the Edge with me and my guest today, Joanna Rochester. She is a wellness renegade, and we're going to talk nutrition, but nutrition for the mind, the body, and the spirit. Joanna is a speaker, an author, and a wellness coach who has a passion about helping her audience and patients find more in their lives. Her years of work in corporate America has blended in nicely with how she is running a successful homeopathic and nutrition practice. She has created an uncommon bridge between the two, the business and the wellness work. From this, she has just been able to springboard and really create some wonderful, amazing things, and something that she's really been able to help me with that I don't think that she's aware of. We're going to talk about that. She is an advocate for alternative therapies and has earned the title of Wellness Renegade. Brains, tell me welcome her to the Edge, Joanna Rochester. How are you, wonderful?
I am amazing, April. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm really excited
yes.
to talk today and a great conversation.
Yeah, me and the Brains love to have you. I've been watching your videos and all of the wonderful things that you're doing and you're producing and pouring into people in the world there in Canada. That's one of my favorite places. We've got a huge following there, so I'm really hoping that people connect with you. And if you get an opportunity to come over here on this side of the border to San Diego, California, you know you always have a home. Speaking of a home, tell us about the home of the heart. How did you find your way into nutrition and the work that you do?
Great question, because it's been a very interesting journey, April. About years ago, talking about the corporate financial world, I was working for one of the major banks in Canada, you know, very stressful career in the corporate financial world, trying to take care of three kids in my home on my own because my husband was working all the time, and trying to be that perfect mother and the perfect employee and the perfect wife. And I don't think I was doing any of them all that well. And so those being overwhelmed manifested into a physical state of overwhelm, and I developed Graves' disease, which is a hyperthyroid autoimmune condition. And, you know, I didn't pay attention to myself at all, so I didn't listen to the signs that my body was telling me. And, you know, I ended up at a specialist's office and him telling me he didn't think it was cancer, which shocked me completely, and that I'd be in meds for the rest of my life, and I would continue with these symptoms until the drugs got my body balanced. And I can remember saying to him, you know, are there any natural alternatives to this? And he kind of condescendingly looked at me and said, no. So I didn't know what else to do. So I started the prescription and took the meds. But within 3 months, I did my research and I realized that I could change my diet. I could change the way I look at life. And I came off those meds within 3 months, and I've never had a problem with my thyroid since then. So that told me, hey, you know, it was actually a gift to stop and pay attention, like that, you know, there's something going on here and I'm not listening. And I think that is that way with so many people, that, you know, we live our lives kind of bland, boring lives that are very practical, and we think we're satisfied or happy, but I now realize that it was a very beige life, and I was existing, not thriving. And so with all that research that I did, I went back to school for nutrition, and then I went back to school for homeopathy, and I started doing all that research into self-awareness, and then I started exploring natural therapies, and each one of those therapies taught me a little bit more about myself, but also gave me the tools that I needed to then help other people. And so that's where now more and more as a wellness coach, I spend much more time with the mental and emotional side of things. And I'm intuitively guided with each client as to how I can help them best and where to start to, you know, take a look at the blocks and, you know, where to go to really help them heal themselves, because we are all designed to heal ourselves. We've just forgotten how. So I help provide the tools that my clients need and also share it with audiences, you know, of how to become an observer in your life so that you can start to listen and pay attention to your thoughts and your emotions and start to recognize what they're trying to show you and how they can help you become the best that you can be.
Right.
So it's been
an interesting
journey.
It's been, you know, really some deep dive work, and I understand. You know, people have to look at their intentions, and they have to look at their motives when they are doing this type of work, and they want to reinvent themselves. They want to change their life. So when we talk about the nutrition of the spirit, when you work with your clients, do you encourage them with meditation, with book reading, with time alone and group therapy? What are some of the techniques that you use with your clients?
Oh, kind of all of those things. You kind of hit the nail on the head, but it's always a combination. And I think, you know, with every client, it's slightly different, but I do pull from the same kind of tool belt to help them. Because, yeah, there's lots of guided meditations. You know, I was working with a client and we were doing mirror work. And like, the dark work, where you're taking a look at those pieces of yourself that you don't really like, but learning to love them because they are a part of you. And when you can let go of the judgment of stuff that's happened in the past, then you can really learn to love yourself. And that's what it comes down to so much, you know, do you love yourself? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And so when you know, affirmations are wonderful because they start to let go of that old story of who you are, and you start to put these positive thoughts, and there's lots of work behind affirmations because they're not just, you know, I love myself, because that, if you don't, you won't believe it, and then it doesn't work.
Right.
But, you know, affirmations, meditations, and all kinds of guided meditations to that inner child, or to, you know, sit by a fireside besides someone that's traumatized you in the past, and what would you say to them? To, you know, there's so many tools that we can use to guide people towards becoming more in touch with themselves. But that first step is that becoming that observer. And that's, you know, I still today, you know, when I'm doing something and I get frustrated or angry, I still today, when I'm in the moment and, you know, being mindful, I can look at those frustrations or those angers and go, what am I being shown here? What's coming up that, you know, that my soul would like me to see in a different way or deal with differently?
Well, let me self-disclose. When we had our initial consultation and we talked about doing this interview, you and I talked about tree hugging and hugging a tree. And you said to me, if you hug a tree and you talk to the tree will answer you. And I'm sitting here getting goosebumps and tears in my eyes because I went to my sacred space and I found a tree. And I hugged that tree, and the energy that came off that tree was magical. And it was so strange. A man walked up to me and he says, "Lady, are you okay?" And he messed up my vibe, right? I was like, I was all into this. And then I heard other people talking in the background. She's tree hugging. She's hugging a tree. She's like, it was just euphoric. So I went to another tree and got a different energy. And the last tree I went to, it was so powerful, Joanna, that I had to sit down. It gave me a head rush.
Oh, wow.
It gave me a head rush like I couldn't believe. I was so connected to a different space. I was so connected to that energy, that what flowed through that, and the questions that I asked the tree, and it answered me. And so I just want to, you know, tell you from the bottom of my soul, thank you for encouraging that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because it made a difference in my life. And I will do it often, and I will do it regularly, because it really makes a difference. Talking about making
a difference.
That's perfect. Go ahead.
I was going to say thank you for honoring yourself and doing that, because not everyone is willing to do that.
Yeah, it was super weird, and you have to be sure to check the tree to make sure that there's no bugs on it.
Yes.
That could be an ugly mess. You walk away with a bunch of ants rolling down your neck or something.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about, I'm looking at your site now, and this keto cooking. Now, there's a book that I've been following. It's called Fit for Life, and it's very similar in the philosophy about eating and trying to get your circadian rhythm together when you eat. But give us some nutritional suggestions. You know, it's so hard to – I shouldn't say it's so hard, because it's really not that hard if you're disciplined and you want to do it. That's the key, is you have to want to do it. But learning to extract things from your diet and replacing them with other things, what are some mind tricks that we can tell ourselves that we stay consistent with that? Because that can be a challenge.
It can be, and that ketogenic diet, I prefer to call it a lifestyle, because then it's not about caloric reduction. It is, but it's not. The beauty of the keto lifestyle is when we're born, we're actually in ketosis, where we're using fat for energy rather than glucose. It's not until we add a lot of carbs in there that changes over. But what the brain functions better when there's ketones present, when it's using fat for energy. And I actually find from an energetic level, an intuitive level, like a health level, that I'm more sensitive, more intuitive, more in touch with myself when I'm on a ketogenic diet and I'm in that ketosis, just because the brain functions better. So it is a challenge. And, you know, but you're exactly right. If you can plan and be consistent, then you can change. But it's also always about that mental and emotional side too. Because if you're, you know, holding on to things, something traumatic happened in your childhood, and, you know, a lot of my clients have issues from their childhood that, you know, we hold on to thoughts and processes and ways of being and without realizing it. And so then we hold on to fat within our body. So a lot of times, if we can go back and explore that mental and emotional side of what food means to you, then, you know, you can help yourself to move closer towards whatever your ideal or whatever your, you know, the best body weight is for you. So it's always a combination of mental, emotional, physical. But when you're on that path of self-awareness and growth, you're boosting your self-confidence and your self-esteem with all of those areas, it becomes easier to go, hey, you know what? That food just doesn't taste good. I'm not going to eat it. I deserve better. I deserve to be healthy. And I think that's kind of a bit the beauty of the keto diet, is because on a keto diet, you're balancing your blood sugar levels, then you don't have the cravings, and it's easier to make smart choices.
And then if your palate changes.
Yes,
definitely. Your palate really changes.
The healthier you eat, the better food tastes.
Yeah, for real.
Better good food tastes.
Let's talk about something else. You can kick a butt. Tell us about your martial arts. I love that. You
so
know,
I have
because
my...
it's not just the diet, but it's also the physical exertion of strength, but calm, patience, dedication, flexibility, all of that. So how'd you get involved in martial arts?
Well, it's kind of funny, because it started back in high school. My my ex, we decided we wanted to do something together, so we spent 2 years when I was at university taking Taekwondo. And then when my kids are growing up, I thought it was a great way to instill the confidence and the determination, all those things that you said in my kids. So I think my oldest was 5 or 6 when he started, and eventually the four of us were doing it. The three kids and I were doing it. And because, you know, I'd be sitting there watching them, and after a while, a couple of years, I thought, this is silly. Why don't I just participate again? So eventually I got to the point, and I'm still doing it. I only get about once a week right now. But so I have my 4th degree black belt in Taekwondo, and you at the club, you would have to call me Master Joanna Rochester.
Oh, wow.
Which still makes me laugh today to say that.
That's beautiful.
But
that is beautiful.
It's great. It brings so many pieces together, and you have to exercise too, and learning something new is so good for your brain and for your body. So, you know, Taekwondo doesn't have to be, you know, it's not the a lot of clubs aren't that, you know, really crazy, I can't do Taekwondo anymore. They're more about, you know, there's always, we call it our executive club, and it's for, you know, the older parents, older participants that, you know, don't want to go out and fight, but they want to be in better shape and to get some exercise.
Right.
So it's a great way to take care of your body and your mind at the same time.
And you also like to dance, is that correct?
Oh, I love dancing. it's such, you know, I don't know who doesn't, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Dancing, you know, whether it's dancing at home with the music playing and no one can see you, or dancing, you know, going out with friends and dancing, it just always, it always makes me kind of laugh and makes me smile. And I don't know whether or not I'm a good dancer. In fact, I don't really think I am, but that's beside the point.
Oh, you're an excellent dancer. It's just the fact of being free and flowing with the music and just being, you know, there. It's like nobody else is in the room, and I think that that's great. So you are an accomplished author. Tell us about your book. We have a special offer, too, for My Brains. I need you to go in. I just posted it on my Facebook page and be the winner of The Magnificence of Magenta, Rediscovering the Soul, the Color of Your Soul. I think that that's a very powerful color. It speaks volumes. It's very vibrant. Tell us why you picked that for the title and what's inside the pages of your book.
Okay, so The Magnificent Magenta, that came about when I was working with my editor and we were trying to come up with a title, and we were just talking, and I said, you know, when I close my eyes, I see the color magenta. And I didn't realize that I did see colors for the longest time. But the more energy work you do, I think most people will see colors. And
yeah, I see a lot of colors.
Just are, yeah, and colors are just different vibrations. So you're seeing them, but each color does have a meaning to it. And magenta is actually is a meaning of collective consciousness healing work and joy and happiness. So it's a very powerful color, and I love when I see it. I will see green when I'm doing a lot of healing, especially if it's physical healing with people, with my clients. I will see different colors, but yeah, when I see magenta, I know that I'm doing my soul's work. And so the book is my journey of going from that very bland and beige, from existing to thriving, to this world where I see color. And I write in the book about, you know, how the different natural therapies I've tried and how they work and why they work and why you would use them, but also how they worked for my clients, how I dealt and clients have dealt with being overwhelmed and with grief in all its different forms, because my mother died in a car accident a number of years ago suddenly, and I, you know, ended my marriage, a 30-year relationship ended not that long ago. And so with each one of these things, I had to learn more about myself, and I started journaling, which is a really great way to start to notice what's going on in your life and be that observer. And my journaling added up to a book. And so there's I think it's, you know, it's a pretty simple read. It's but it's for those that have come to realize that they want more in their life, but they're not really sure what more is or how to find it or what it looks like. And so how to start taking a look at their life from a different angle and what's
right.
available to them.
Well, I think that you did a fantastic job. I want to ask you,
thank you.
What this looks like from an aerial view. I just celebrated my 35th wedding anniversary to Mr. Magnificent. I absolutely adore him. But on the flip side of that, after 30 years and you consciously uncouple, what does that look like from an aerial view? I mean, how does that even, I can't even imagine, because you're so ingrained in that person. Now, I know that there's, you know, situations that's caused couples to break up, whatever, but internally, what kind of questions do you ask yourself, and then how do you find those answers?
That's such a great question, because it was such a challenge for me, because I met my partner, my husband, when I was 18 years old, so I never really defined myself as a single person, and, you know, then we were together for 30 years, and so it really was huge of all, how of a sudden, how do you go from two people as one and trying to figure out how you are by yourself when you never really knew yourself in the first place.
Right.
And it caused a lot of pain, but it that was a gift also, because it did force me to look at who I am and figure myself out. And how do you do that? Well, that's where the natural therapies taught me more and more about myself. And looking back, I would say, you know, often with grief, you know, when you get divorced, it's almost considered a bit shameful that, you know, couldn't you, you know, keep your marriage together? And I tended to suppress it a lot and hide that and try and put on this great face of, oh, I'm fine, everything's wonderful. But that just delayed having to deal with the grief for longer. So I would say, you know, someone that, if someone close to you dies, it's okay to go into, you know, being a hermit, into, you know, being by yourself. And I think that should be okay when a divorce happens too. So go in and explore how terrible you feel, and don't think you have to be positive, because, you know, that's one thing with a lot of the new age stuff. It's like, got to be positive, got to put that brave face on, don't be negative. But that's so unrealistic, and it also just suppresses stuff. So it's, but I think this is really where, you know, for me, it was learning these new therapies and being introduced to different techniques and tips, but also working with a coach is really, really good. You know, I think it's going to sound funny. I wish I had me when I was going through it, just someone to talk to, right? To someone that can, you know, be more objective and say, you know, hey, you know, that's okay to feel that way, but let's deal with that. And then how about we think about this, and how about we try this tip or this technique and move through it, I think, faster than I did, because I was trying to do it all alone and very stuck. That was one of the biggest things. It felt stuck for a long time.
Now, you also shared with us something else very personal. Was it the loss of your mother? And it was instant in a car accident. That's a very tender thing. I live here with my mother, and she's 89 years old, but I just had the loss of my brother. And I'll self-disclose, it was a rocky relationship. It really, really was. But I did have the time to say the things that I wanted to say, to honor him in the way that I found valuable for the both of us, ask for forgiveness as well as forgiving. What does that feel like when you don't have an opportunity to say that? How does a person begin to work through that grief process when they're nurturing their mind, their body, and their soul in the death?
It really is overwhelming. Like, I can remember at the time that I got the phone call from my dad saying that that she had passed away, and thinking the world should stop. And why wasn't the world stopping to acknowledge that something had happened? But I think there's lots of things that you can do, and it'll depend upon where you're at in your life. For me, I see life as not an end. I see life as just a new beginning. So for me, I was more comfortable with death than I think other people are. In addition, my mother had also actually told us about 5 years before she died that sitting down on Christmas Eve about 1 o'clock in the morning and wrapping gifts. And she said, I've done what I wanted in life. And if something happens to me, I'm okay. So that did make it easier for me. But I think it's, you know, once again, exploring what happened, exploring your feelings for them, writing, you know, if you've had a great relationship, that's wonderful. You know, you can explore that love. But if there was something traumatic, my mother and I had a very challenging relationship for a number of years. So one of the big things that I did for myself was I wrote her a letter. And in that letter, I put down all the things that I couldn't stand about, didn't like the relationship. But then you flip it around, and before you're done, you write, this is the way I would have liked it to have been. And then you put down the way you would have preferred it. And you can actually burn it if you want, you know, and say while you're burning it, make it so, make it so, make it so. And that's a beautiful process just to go through in itself. There's gestalt therapy where, you know, you say all the things that you're so mad that, you know, their life ended and you didn't get to say this or didn't get to say that. And then so you go to a dark place, but then you only allow that for 15, 20 minutes, and then you bring yourself out of that and go to your favorite place in nature. So I have a picture of myself holding an orangutan from a trip to Bali a number of years ago. And whenever I get down, I allow myself to go to that deep, dark place for 10, 15 minutes, and then I bring myself out back to a place of now I bring my back self back to a place of joy and happiness, but you know, at the time it would have just been a back to a place of allowing and accepting. And I think that's
well, we have allowed you and we are accepting you in our heart, and I thank you so much for coming here on the Edge. You've again poured into me something that I will hold with me forever. It is
wonderful.
A new modality for me. I love the trees. I love the messages. But I also love what you are telling us, and I love what's in the pages of your book. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you there in Canada virtually and how to get a copy of your book.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much for having me once again. I really enjoyed the conversation. So website is Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A, at joannarogister.com. Book can be purchased, or sorry, that's my email. Website is joannarogister.com, and you can purchase the book through the website. I'm on Facebook at Joanna Rogister Wellness Renegade. Phone number is on that Facebook page too. So, and address, I'm in London, Ontario, Canada. So yeah, I'd love to hear from anyone that has any questions or concerns, or you know, if I can help in any way with whatever you're going through, because I love being able to share what I've learned, and I've learned it so that I can help others.
Well, thank you so much. Brains, I need you to, you know, tap into this. I don't just go out and search for any old body. I'd be looking for the right somebody to bring them to you, to change your frequency, to help you love, to help you understand, to help you find some compassion and be a better person. That's what the goal is here on The Edge with April Mahoney and our guests. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We got them for you. We're doing some great stuff. We just had a fantastic interview on men. Yeah, we're going into the psyche of a man. That's quite a journey. We are going to have another great guest come on our show. She's been catfished. Yes. For $450,000. Somebody got some trickery on her. So we want to learn how to avoid that. And a whole host of other great things are going down here on The Edge. Be sure to tune in often and regularly. Follow me on all of the major hotspots. Raise those numbers because, again, the more brains we touch, the more lives we change. Thank you so much, Joanna. Please come back to The Edge again and keep us informed on what you're doing, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, brains. Have an exceptional day. I'm counting on you.